Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's going to get real awkward real quick today. Because coming up here in a little bit, Tar Vanderveer is going to be on the show with us here on Jhené and Golic Jr. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamike, who will be joining us here in just a little bit because it is a special day. That sound you heard there, us talking about Jhené's former coach, Tar Vanderveer at Stanford, just became the all-time wins leader last night. Obviously, a lot of great stuff to celebrate there. We will talk to Coach Vanderveer later on in the show. Jhené's got a great piece up on ESPN.com. She's got a great piece that's been running on SportsCenter that will play some for you here. And Jhené will join us, I'm sure, to rub in my face that someone from Stanford has accomplished a great deal in this day. So there's going to be celebration on that front. There is going to be a lot of anger on one front because right now, brewing in the College Football Playoff Committee's very own lap, we have got a battle between the College Football Playoff Committee as we know it and the Group of Five. And the tension in the middle right now is palpable and hit a fever pitch last night, I think, because of one move in particular. Everyone's going to point to Florida, and I'm going to tell you the problem started before that with a different team. But we got to touch back on Houston. We talked so much yesterday about Giannis Antetokounmpo signing his max extension with the Milwaukee Bucks and what that might mean for the rest of the league. We talked about that and then immediately turned the page and said, what does this could it potentially mean for James Harden, who had been a disgruntled superstar with the Houston Rockets, talking about wanting to be out here, talking about wanting to trade, talking about, hey, send me to Brooklyn, send me to Philadelphia. We heard even Miami thrown into the mix. All these names that started to get thrown out here. And then we saw him last night. James Harden was supposed to get 20 minutes last night in that game, and the picture seen around the world. Now, I want to take everyone's temperature in the room because we finally heard from James Harden in the course of all this, and we're going to play that sound, and it is tremendously entertaining the way James Harden is trying to write off his nights out as training trips through this process. It's an incredible spin zone by James. But Devin, Cliff, I have to ask you guys, you saw that picture. I know it's probably not the case, but are we willing to just rock with the idea? Because, again, this is like, to me, like Lamar Jackson pooping in the middle of that game. I don't care if he says he cramped, and I don't care if that's a believable excuse. The same way, I don't care if I saw James Harden for the rest of the night and he looked in shape. Are we willing to rock with the idea of Fat Harden going forward?
I mean, it's the pandemic pounds. It's gotten most people. So, why is Harden immune to that?
That's what I mean. It's incredibly relatable. Cliff, I look at him and I say, James Harden, if he was looking to win the court of public opinion, just showed up and said, you know what? I have a lot of money. I have enjoyed partying with my friends, which is wholly irresponsible. But I have also, like many of us, packed on the quarantine pounds in a way that people identify with.
Look, what did Drake say? You gotta hit them angles right when you try to get the picture right.
Yeah, nuts.
And whoever did that just hit the angle exactly right. Exactly good enough just for him to be traded to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I love it.
I can't imagine what's going through your mind there, Cliff.
Didn't this happen to Tony Romo a couple years ago when he was still playing with the Cowboys? I think someone got like a bad angle. They're like, oh my God, Tony Romo's fat. And it was just a bad picture.
Oh, yeah. And listen, to be clear, I've talked to sources on the ground who indicated it was just, in fact, a bad picture in this instance. But I still feel like we need to rock with it here. Thick Harden makes way more sense narrative-wise. It feeds into everything perfectly. So we just have to ride with this and hope that he'll meet us there.
He's so good. Thick Harden's still giving you 30-8 every night.
That's what I mean. What's better than that? We saw this with Zion this last year, which, by the way, James, don't bite too much of Zion swag here as far as being a thick baller. But I feel like it worked out really well, and it's tremendously demoralizing when a thicker guy goes out there and still manages to give you work at the top of the key.
Also, look at his beard. His beard looks like it added a couple pounds on him as well, right?
No, see, the beard distracts you from the poundage. I can assure you the beard is a weapon against weight gain. That much I know for sure. Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So this was the interesting part in all this. We've been waiting to hear from James Harden through the course of this. And James Harden, in the postgame press conference, was talking about what everyone saw. Him going to Atlanta, him going to Vegas, him at Lil Baby's birthday party, giving him a bag full of tons of money. And so he was asked about why you were doing all this before the season. Here was the exchange.
James, what was the point that you were trying to get across when you went to Atlanta and Vegas when training camp was starting?
I was just training.
What were you training for?
The start of the NBA season.
How did going to Atlanta and Vegas help you there when the Rockets were starting training camp in Houston?
Just my personal trainers.
It's personal. I have never heard someone refer to the bottle service folks as personal trainers, but 2020 is the first time for everything. Let go and let God. So that's going to be very interesting. Was that Tim McMahon that asked that question? It sounded an awful lot like it. I'm not 100% sure, but funny way of saying, Tim McMahon wrote the article that's gaining a lot of traction today about James Harden's tenure in Houston coming to a fever pitch. So we'll talk to Tim McMahon about what this has looked like. James Harden, is he getting star treatment that others aren't getting anywhere else? And how desirable does that make him going forward? Cliff, because you mentioned Philadelphia, and based on what we're hearing, I'm not even talking about the private planes. I'm not even talking about dictating the coming and going. I'm talking about the culture set within that locker room. Sounds like it would be a famous disaster mixing with that Philadelphia locker room. So we'll get to that in about 5-10 minutes here as we catch up with Tim McMahon. Chené Ngola Jr. reminding you, be a part of Chené Ngola Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. The college football season's heating up, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you. Treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. And at Chené, at Mike Golick Jr. I'm genuinely curious because I was discussing earlier today what the College Football Playoff Committee did last night, the rankings that we saw come out in this round and this time for them, because this is the penultimate. So the last round of rankings, Selection Sunday, is coming up this weekend after the conference championships. And as it sits right now, Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State sitting 1, 2, 3, and 4, just like they've been from the start. No movement there. Texas A&M hanging out at the 5 spot still. This is where it starts to get interesting. Iowa State, after Florida lost this past weekend, now bumps up to 6, which was kind of expected. Iowa State was sitting at 7 last week behind Florida. And so my number one question going into last night was, how far are they going to drop Florida? You lose to an unranked LSU team that's been an unmitigated disaster for most of this season, has players opting out, has lost guys to injury. No business losing to them in that Fog Bowl, and yet they pulled that off. Florida drops one spot. Florida sits at number 7 in the country. And a lot of people looked at that and saw Cincinnati now bumped down to 9. They were at 8 last week. They started off the college football playoff. The first ranking, Cincinnati was up at 7 after that win against UCF and had played no games since then because of what had happened COVID-19-wise to that team. Florida drops and everyone loses their mind, myself included, because I look at this and say, how can you justify dropping them one spot? And then I saw the mess the committee made below them. Because it was Georgia that did this. Georgia, who lost head-to-head to Florida. Georgia, who was bumped up above Cincinnati because of a victory over Missouri. Idle Cincinnati got jumped by Georgia. And so now you set the floor there if you're the committee. You looked and said, Florida's not going to fall further than Georgia because this committee's going to look at that head-to-head and say, no good, no dice. But that doesn't sit right with everyone now. Cincinnati and really Coastal Carolina have become this year's version of the UCF, the Central Florida National Championship argument we've been hearing for years, where these group of five teams go out here and accomplish, and they achieve, and they give you a resume that a lot of people look at and say, most deserving, that look at and say, this should be what we're looking for if we're trying to build a playoff where we fairly do all this. Fair is a place where they judge pigs, though. And in this situation, I look at it and I say, yes, the committee missed a golden opportunity in a year full of chaos where we're playing conference only and there's different amounts of games being played all down the list to look at Cincinnati, to look at Coastal Carolina, and to push them up higher here. It would have cost the committee very little or nothing. There would have been no love lost if Cincinnati was sitting there above Georgia and Florida at 7 in this. There would have been an argument and a conversation had about Iowa State, who, weirdly enough, what have I told you at the beginning of this year? Iowa State was the team that was going to be the proxy for Power 5 supremacy, for the idea that they're being handed something, they're being given preferential treatment. Iowa State was going to be that team because Iowa State lost week one to a Louisiana team that's sitting down at 19 right now, that's getting ready to play for a Sun Belt title right now. And we're looking at all of this. We're looking at these teams and wondering, why is this happening? Is a group of five team ever going to make it? Why is the committee against them so much? And people think it looks different this year. Coming up in a little bit, I'll give you a rundown of exactly how it's gone every year in the rankings so far, because it's been like this, and it's been abundantly clear. If you are in the group of five, you're not getting the same benefit of the doubt as the Power Five, and I don't think that's wrong across the board. But it's always meant you're going to have to do more, and in a year where it was conference-only scheduling, where you weren't going to have the benefit of those group of five victories, I struggle to sit here now and think why we expected this to be the year in that case. I still think the deck stacked against them. I still think that's a bummer given what everyone wants, because everyone wants to apply the March Madness logic to the college football playoff, but I don't think it can work like that. So we'll get into plenty more of that, but at Chenay, at Mike Golic Jr., do you think we should just make it official? Should the group of five be given their own separate class to work in right now, or should the power, should people try and want to allow the group of five into the conversation for the college football playoff? 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. How do we fix this situation? Because so many people seem upset with it. That seems to be the message sent last night, but another message being sent in Houston right now. We'll check in with someone on the ground covering the Houston Rockets who can let us know what to expect from James Harden and this group going forward. We'll do that next. It's Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
More trade destinations. We expected James Harden to maybe open up the recruitment, for lack of a better term, in all of this. But as teams now look at the situation unfolding in Houston, how much of this is desirable? Does this affect the way anyone will pursue James Harden? Does this affect the way any of you, any fan of a team, would go in wanting James Harden? It's Chenay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. Chenay Gwumike going to be joining us in 15 minutes. Had obligations with the jump. And so we're excited about that. It's basketball season. Chenay is dialed in, so make sure you check her out all over TV. Make sure you check us out here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. And we've been talking about the anger in the College Football Playoff Committee, or aimed at the College Football Playoff Committee, I should say, as Cincinnati and other teams, group of five schools, getting a raw deal in a lot of people's eyes again. And so we ask, what would you do to fix it? Because everyone seems so angry at the problems. 888-729-3776. Go to Danny in Orlando. Danny, you're on Chenay and Golic Jr. What do you do to fix the college football playoff?
Well, first of all, guys, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate that. Me, personally, to fix this whole playoff scenario mess, throw the top eight best teams in there, let them battle it out, and then they decide a national champion from there.
And we appreciate the call. Expansion seems to be the number one thing on everyone's mind in here, but unless you're talking about automatic qualifiers in there, I think you're still going to run into some issues. So 888-729-3776. Do you think this needs fixing? Because I look at part of this and I'm also curious as to, should it have to change? Do we think that the group of five is actually being done wrong in here, or are we facing things that we know deep down in places we don't talk about at parties are true? We'll get to that later, but it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless right now, and we'll go back to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line to talk about what's going on in Houston. Tim McMahon, our ESPN NBA reporter, wrote a great piece about James Harden and what's kind of been building to a fevered pitch with him and the Houston Rockets here. And Tim, we appreciate the time today. I'm curious, reading a lot about this, the culture in Houston, James Harden sort of having his run of the building. As you were going through and reporting and getting ready to write this story, did any of this surprise you, having covered the team for a while now, hearing this said out loud by so many people?
No, it didn't surprise me. And look, this is a story that it didn't surprise people around the NBA. There's an understanding of this is the way things have been in Houston. And look, the Rockets haven't been alone and basically given their superstars, as you said, the run of the place. But it was a situation where the culture in Houston, you know, a lot of people feel like it got out of hand in terms of being lax, and you know how much of that's on Daryl Morey for setting the tone, or on Mike D'Antoni for you know, really not caring if guys show up to the plane or the bus or film session on time, those sorts of things. But it's also a deal where there's been a lot of change there, GM, head coach. They finally have told James Harden no. Now, they told him no because he wants to leave town, and they don't feel like there's a fair offer in place this time. So you have a franchise going through some major transformation and really kind of a cultural reckoning at this point, and trying to figure out, okay, how did things go wrong here? You know, and really, how can they kind of not fix things going forward, but minimize the damage to the franchise going forward now?
Tim, I'm curious in that front, because we heard and read in your piece about Chris Paul, you know, and Russell Westbrook being guys that clashed a little bit with this style, because they're other star players. But we've also heard in other places like Los Angeles with the Clippers, more the rank and file players being upset with the preferential treatment of stars. Did you get any indication of that with the rest of this Houston roster?
Well, there's honestly, especially last season, there was a lot of grumbling up and down the roster, the coaching staff, front office. I mean, you know, let's be honest. Mike D'Antoni was a lame duck. Russell Westbrook, you know, he didn't like the culture, and he did a lot of, you know, yelling and screaming and kind of stomping his feet. You had just the craziness with the Daryl Morey tweet preseason. I mean, it was just a franchise that had a lot of issues last season. But yeah, and yes, James Harden, he definitely has a reputation as being a guy who's hard to play with stylistically. I haven't heard a lot of, you know, his teammates not liking him as a dude. You know, there's not necessarily a lot of personal clashes there, although certainly Harden, CP3, Harden, Dwight Howard had their you know, personal differences. But I think it's more about, while Harden has been able to thrive in this culture with this freedom, you know, with the ability to basically do whatever he wants, is that a way that a team can compete for a championship? And, you know, the flip side of that is, you know, the people who are with the Rocks can argue, hey, if Chris Paul doesn't pull his hamstring, they probably have the parade in Houston, but probably does not hang banners.
No, makes it pretty tough to do going forward. And Tim, I'm curious to that end, do you think this hampers any of the market for James Harden, any of this stuff just being talked about as publicly as it is right now, even if it might have been known before?
No, because you know what? James Harden, you know, one of my sources told me in the story. Yeah, he might fly to Vegas and party when they have a few days off, but he's going to come back and give you a 50-point triple-double. And listen, James Harden is one of the best offensive players in the history of the league. None of this stuff changes that. None of this stuff was a secret around the NBA. It's just, you know, I printed it, which, you know, that's really the only difference. But I don't see this affecting the market for Harden at all. I think there's other factors at play there, including possibly some of these other teams wanting to see what they have before deciding whether they want to go all in on making a run at Harden this season. But no, I don't think this diminishes his market value one bit.
Well, great stuff as always, Tim. It's a tremendous read and a great job as always shedding light on this situation as it unfolds. We appreciate the time and insight. Thanks, Tim.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And Tim's right there. Sports is riddled with guys. I played with plenty of guys that can go out here and act and carry on and still show up and get the job done. But does that change the type of team that James Harden could and should fit with if he is going to get moved? I think there's one example that highlights the exact situation that James Harden would go in and absolutely combust. We'll go to that situation next. It's Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We can keep bringing up the Sixers, but based on what we're hearing about James Harden, Philadelphia and that particular player seems like a famous disaster waiting to happen. We'll tell you why. It's Chenay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chenay Igwumike back with us here, fresh off an appearance on The Jump, fresh off an appearance on SportsCenter, telling stories all day, and an article up on ESPN.com in honor of her former college coach, Tara Vanderveer, going out here and accomplishing all-time wins things out here. How you doing? It's got to be a pretty cool day to celebrate this.
Oh my gosh, y'all can't tell me nothing, okay? Stanford went out there, got win 1,099 for head coach Tara Vanderveer, who hopefully, fingers crossed, once they travel and get to their next game here in Southern California, will join us on the show. But yeah, it's been a whirlwind. I've been so proud to be a Stanford grad, a Stanford alumni. But, you know, as you were mentioning, I have to remember. Rachel did say our show as I was leaving.
Oh, okay.
I did promo it. So it did happen.
All right. Because for everyone that hadn't been around here before, Chenay is off doing great things, especially now as we're getting back into hoop season. The Jump is a great program around here with Rachel Nichols. Everyone should check that out. But Chenay has gone on here a couple times, and the last time she was there, failed to mention what is slowly starting to feel like her radio side piece over here. And so we just wanted to make sure we had this on lock now.
No, they're my side piece. You are my main piece. Okay, come on now.
There we go. We've got that well established. So like you said, hopefully we'll catch up with Coach Vanderveer later in the show, celebrate this tremendous accomplishment. I saw on ESPN.com they ranked the top 10 players under Tara Vanderveer at Stanford. And how are you only checking in at number 2? I am beside myself with this right now.
Candace Ice Wiggins was crazy, and I think we'll talk about it when it gets to keep that same energy. But I'm cool with number 2 because guess what? I was higher than my sister.
Yeah.
Higher than my sister. Okay, she's got me on the court professionally, but in college, I will tell you, my career, yes. Necco played with a lot of great players. I was by myself, a lot of talented players, but not to the, you know what I mean? So.
You were out here getting buckets. That's what you mean.
Our show's favorite number. Where did I come in at?
Oh my God, number two.
Number two.
Yeah.
Very exciting. So. It is a celebration around here. We are very excited to get to all of that as the show goes along. Chinay Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. But Chinay, while you've been gone, we've been talking about James Harden, which I'm sure you came up on the jump for you guys as well. Tim McMahon, we just talked to, wrote the piece documenting some of what's been going on behind the scenes, this idea that James Harden has had his run of the place in Houston. And so I'm curious for you, Chinay, does any of this change where we sit currently with James Harden, the Houston Rockets, or any prospective buyers of James Harden?
What James Harden did before the season, moving around in his extracurricular activities.
Boom.
What he did going into the season, he finally showed up and did a few workouts. What he did last night in the preseason game, going 3 for 10, I believe, 12 points, 21 minutes. All of that doesn't change the fact that even if I heard people were saying he looks a little bigger. Nah, fam. Let's talk about the photo that was seen all around the world. That one's like, oh, James is just not serious anymore.
It's thick James.
No, I mean, like maybe one or two, three or four max. That picture that you're seeing on ESPN Plus, the picture that's been on social media, this man wears about like three or four or five t-shirts under. Like some people like to warm up literally warm. And he's one of those guys that tucks it into his pants, so that makes you look a little bigger than normal. So I wouldn't freak out all the way. And if he is coming off of a little quarantine situation, you know what I'm saying? I feel like everyone should understand, this man is still a bucket. He's still one of the best buckets in the league. And even if it takes him a while, maybe a few weeks before, I know the season's a week away, but before he feels like he's in tip-top shape, guess what? That means he's rested. If I'm Houston, I'm glad he showed up. I'm glad he came and played and did his thing. And then most importantly, the sound after where he said basically, hey, I just want to focus on basketball. I'm here. I know I've been doing a lot of different things. He didn't say this in his words, but I know I've been doing a lot of different things. But overall, when I step on the court, I'm going to come here and play. And then whatever happens, we'll just have to have those conversations after the game is done.
And this was James Harden after the game talking about if all of this was a distraction to the current Houston Rockets.
Since I've been here, there's nothing that's been said about it. You know, everybody in the locker room, coaching staff has been focused on ramping up and preparing for the season. So that's all that matters.
Now, Chinay, I want to ask you this, though, because it might not be a distraction here, but what we heard behind closed doors, the stuff about James Harden on off days, chartering jets to Vegas and doing stuff like that, going out and then coming back and drop. I have no problem with that. I played with plenty of guys that went out, you know, nights close to game night and still showed up, did their stuff, handled their business in a way that said, all right, is you can do whatever you want away from the court, away from the field, as long as you show up and handle business. But then I hear the stuff about the lax attitude that led to a team that really didn't have time, you know, operate on a meaningful schedule, that was lax in the way that they approached things, that frustrated Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul to a certain extent. I hear that, Chinay, and I think the Philadelphia 76ers team that we've talked about pursuing James Harden would be a disaster with that kind of influence in the locker room. With Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, the way we've seen, very influenced by leaders coming from the outside, by players with high profiles like Jimmy Butler coming from the outside, and that can be in a positive way like we saw there, or I think with this kind of attitude in the locker room could bring out more of what's made that team have issues in the past trying to get over the hump. Do you buy into any of that fit idea, especially with a team as young and as impressionable as we've seen in Philadelphia?
That is a possibility, that bringing in another star player might make the star player just want to leave. And guess what? Sometimes, you know, the grass is greener on the other side if you look at Jimmy Butler. But when it comes to James Harden, I feel like it's extremely different, just because by him, like the difference with Jimmy in Philly is that Jimmy's outside game, while he is one of the most clutch, you know, most points per game when it comes to the fourth quarter when you need a bucket most, while he's one of those guys, those first three quarters, it's sort of like a, you know, it's not like you're going to get like some superhuman performance consistently. You're going to get someone that shows shows up and works hard and gets those hard to earn buckets, and then in the fourth quarter will be more competitive and find a way to win, that's great. But when it comes to James, you're going to get the full package, right? He's not afraid to take the big shot late, even though he hasn't figured out how to get it done consistently, especially going into the playoffs. But like, you're also going to get a guy that literally is instant offense. And the only reason why I feel like this can work is culturally. I mean, James, we already saw what he, like, to Philly, going from Houston to Philly, we're kind of like kindred cities, kindred blood when it comes to cities. And then on top of it, when it comes to these stars, he is a perimeter player. And Jimmy Butler was not necessarily that, like, his go-to. James Harden can rattle off 25 to 30 points on the perimeter, and guess who's gonna like that the most? Joel Embiid. Guess who's gonna like that if it spaces the floor? Ben Simmons. So to me, strategically, I think that's why the GM Daryl Morey might be like, let's really look into this before we just say this is all said and done. I have the relationship to actually maybe keep him on point. Plus now we have a player coach in Doc Rivers who has enough credentials to make him feel like, all right, you have to listen to me too. I still think Philly's a good option, but overall, James Harden being back out there, I know a lot of people have a lot to say what he looked like. Overall, he's still going to get a bucket, and people should never forget that.
It's going to be very interesting. I think on the court, you're right, there's no question. But off the court, these are a lot of the things that we've known that we've just seen in writing right now. Now, we'll get to more on James Harden, but 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. We've also heard a lot of people upset and angry about what happened with the College Football Playoff Committee's latest round of rankings. Should the Group of Five be getting more credit? Do you want to fix the College Football Playoff, and how would you do it? 888-729-3776. We'll get to that after this word from Mercedes-Benz. Whew, you ever wonder how far an extra mile really goes? Well, drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out. Start with a network of over 250 authorized dealerships backed by a sales force that's ready to help you with everything from customization to service. On vans like the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter that's tailored to your lifestyle, with options like Blind Spot Assist or MBUX voice command technology for directions, weather, and more. So, whether you're enjoying life on the trail or working hard on the job, see how far an extra mile can really go by taking the first step into an authorized Mercedes-Benz van dealership today. And now with IRS Section 179, businesses could be eligible for up to a $25,900 tax deduction. That's up to $5,439 in tax savings. Options and model availability may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Some equipment described is optional. $5,439 tax savings based on 21% federal tax rate and eligibility to claim the full $25,900 Section 179 vehicle deduction. Your tax rate and eligibility may vary. Consult your tax advisor for more information. Limits may apply. Visit mbvans.com. Offer valid through December 31st, 2020. Should we fix the CFP? Is it even necessary? That's next. Chenea Engel Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenea Engel Jr. The podcast. The Pac-12, Big 12, and ACC championships. Plus the College Football Playoff and National Championship.
Step that's caught! Oh, touchdown! Here we go.
College football lives here. ESPN Radio. I don't want to
ruin this one. It's all coming up this weekend. College football's conference championship weekend. A lot of questions to be answered heading in to the final college football playoff rankings that come out Sunday. But Lord almighty, people were mad about the ones that came out last night. Chenea Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. Oh, God, help me. And Chenea Ogumike.
I got you.
There we go.
Chenea Ogumike here. We're about to talk college football playoff rankings. And everyone's mad. I got you, boo.
I appreciate it. Shout out to Bomani Jones, the all-time architect of the greatest on-air choke that we've ever seen. Our producer, Shannon Penn, was there to save Bomani the same way that Chenea was here to save me. And Chenea, you know what? I'm curious for you because you come from a sport in March Madness and college basketball in men's and women's hoops that has been doing this tournament deal for a while. We hear bubble teams every year, people right on the edge of going in, and we see the anger around that. And so as you look now, the college football playoff is only a few years old, 5 or 6 years old at this point, and you see people upset the way they were last night. Is it starting to feel a little familiar to you? Because to me, it seems like we're trending more in that direction than I ever expected.
Oh, yeah. And you know what's funny? I actually am seeing everything go down with the college football playoff rankings. Good job, by the way. You are holding it down along with Jason Fitz and Christine Williamson and guests every week. But it's funny because I'm like, thank God I play basketball, because guess what we have? We have the conference tournaments, right? Where, you know, you win your conference tournament, you punch your ticket to the tournament. And then if you're a top team, you automatically get to go as well, based on the committee and all that type of stuff. But like, there's so many open spots that, you know, you're safe if you're finished in the top 25 or so. That is not the case when it comes to college football. Even though you have bowls, everyone wants to play, you know, play in the last, in the big dance or whatever the case is. And it was just funny to see everyone in their emotions. And I'm like, thank God we have our own way to punch our own tickets.
Yeah. And Shanae, I think a lot of people want it to trend that way, to trend toward expansion. I've always said I've enjoyed college football's playoff because it makes the regular season so important, because it makes sure that you have to accomplish and do what you need to do within that body and time to get the best teams in that Final Four. But as we've seen Cincinnati and a number of these teams left out of the party, the UCF argument we get every year, the group of five teams feeling slighted by this process in a way that I empathize with, but ultimately I understand more is expected of these, because across the board, the group of five, the competition played at that level in those conferences is not where the Power Five is at across the board. There's some overlap at the top and bottom with teams like UCF, like Coastal, like Cincinnati, that I totally understand the argument of, but you're always going to have to do and show more in the current system. So we asked people, looking at this current system, what would you do and how would you fix it? 888-729-3776. Let's go to Joel in Cincinnati. Joel, you're on Shanae and Golic Jr. here. What would you do to fix the CFP at this point?
Oh, you guys are absolutely right on the money, and you're right around it. You're so close. The key is, as Shanae says, about controlling your own destiny, automatic qualifiers. So Power 5 is not actually a thing. FBS is the level that they play at. There are 10 conferences in the FBS. All 10 conferences must be given an automatic bid, and then if you want to go to 12 to have two wild cards for Notre Dame or BYU or Texas A&M, whoever you want to, that gives still the chance for the regular season to mean everything.
So I appreciate that idea, and what I would say with this, and the difference always with college sports, and I understand the FCS level is an easy counter-argument for people, but again, at this level, with the violence, with the physicality of the sport played at the top level here, expanding that out means you're going to have to shorten the regular season, because this is too violent a sport to ask quote-unquote amateurs to go out there and play for that long at that level. And Shanae, I look at that and say that's where the TV money gets involved. That's where bigger players are in this than anybody else. But expansion certainly is always the easy answer here for that.
Yeah,
reason.
And it seems probably easier to try to dream about than actually enact, because that would take holistic acknowledgement that, hey, we need to do something that benefits more teams and more schools instead of ourselves overall. But like, first of all, shout out to Joel, because he came with the heat.
Yep.
Like, really came with the heat. I enjoyed, and that was actually a really good take, even though hopefully like that's the dreamland we want to be in. But you know, I want to break this down, and I want to ask you this. What, because we know that there's problems, Junior, what is, in your estimation, the biggest problem when it comes to these rankings as you see it?
The problem that comes to these rankings is what they did with Georgia, moving a two-loss Georgia team that only had the win against Missouri as the reason to jump above Cincinnati. That's why Florida fell down in that place. That's the problem with this year's rankings, Chinee. The problem that creates all of this conversation, the problem that creates the situation Joel was talking about, was the fact that there's no uniformity in college athletics. That he's talking about give everyone the bid. Well, you're not playing the same level of competition across the boards there. So unless you're going to all of a sudden increase the out-of-conference scheduling and all these different ways and all these different problems we have, you're going to keep getting more of the same. We have time to squeeze one more in quick. Let's go to John in West Virginia. John, you're on Shanae and Golic Jr. How would you fix the CFP?
Hey, flat out, I would keep it the exact same. However, with that said, this year you had to make a change. You had teams taking games on days' notices, conferences switching rules to get certain teams in their conference championship games to make the CFP. No way they should have done five Power Fives. They get in, three group of fives. Boom, you fix it for pandemic season. After that, you move on. The four best teams always.
We appreciate that, John. And I think what he hit on there, I don't know if I would go that structure-wise, but I think they missed a golden opportunity here.
Yes.
To erase a lot of these problems by just ranking Cincinnati above Florida and Georgia the way you
Thank
very
you.
Easily could have justified and ignored this conversation. You would still have some of the Iowa State problem with a two-loss Iowa State team at number six right now, but at the very least, I think you could have mitigated a lot of this. So,
You know what problem they had? You got fired on your day off.
Can't do
it.
That's
how it felt.
Can't get fired on your day off. No one getting fired coming up this NBA season yet, though. Instead, we've got hardware to hand out. Chinee's NBA preseason awards coming up next here on ESPN Radio.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.